Okay, well, tonight we go to the book of Revelation, and book of Revelation chapter 19, if you would, find Revelation chapter 19, and say once more, it's been a real blessing, and I know that visiting preachers are supposed to say those types of things, but I really mean it's been a real blessing to be here and to be a part of your special meeting, to be a part of just the fellowship and the great singing. Really means a lot to be here. And thank you so much for your hospitality. Thank you for treating us like as if somehow or another we really, like you really were looking forward to us being here. It almost feels like you're telling the truth. So I'm just going to believe that you are. And still trying to get used to the idea of being someone that people want to come and have preach. It's just not something I ever envisioned. And I really feel privileged to be here. But tonight we're just going to talk about Jesus. Amen? And try to talk about Him. What a good way to end a meeting. Amen? Let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess before we get into the passage in Revelation chapter 19, well, let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll take a minute to talk about these things, and we'll dismiss and go home. But let's look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity once more to be here, and we thank you for the Word of God. It tells us, Lord, not only the beginning and where we came from, but also the ending, where we're headed. We thank you for, Lord, giving us all that we need for the in-between. And we pray now that as we look forward, Lord, to these things that are coming very soon, as we look down the road into the future, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to get the vision, get the understanding, and be encouraged by it, Lord, be strengthened by it. And we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he truly deserves all the attention and all the glory. We thank you, Lord, as we sang a few minutes ago, we don't know why it is that he came, why he did what he did, other than the fact that we believe what you said, Lord. You said that you loved the world and you gave your only begotten Son. So we thank you for that love. We thank you for making it manifest and making it known to us. Lord, thank you for shedding that love abroad in our hearts. We pray now you'd please help us to turn our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ and not forget, Lord, that he is coming soon and he has a plan, and there's all kinds of things that are going to we have to look forward to just down the road. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I guess if we're going to set this passage that we just read in its proper context, and most of you are very familiar with this, you know what's happening and you know what's going on, but you'd probably have to acknowledge that this is not something that's going to happen just exactly in the next couple of months or weeks or years. We understand that there is some time that takes place between where we're at tonight and where this event that we're reading about is going to transpire. In other words, if we were to just have, I don't know if you remember the days where you could just grab the remote and you could hit the fast forward button and everything would go really fast and you can kind of skip to the part you wanted to go to. That's kind of what I have in mind when I read this passage. I think you're just going to skip through the next couple of weeks. Skip through Monday. Amen. Skip past a wet, cold, snowy, rainy Monday morning. Amen. And we'll just skip past the end of this week and we'll just skip past a little bit down the road and skip past some of the trials of life and some of the tribulations and things that just happen. And it's nice to kind of think about it sometimes. Just one day this is all going to be over with. And, you know, it's going to be good. It's going to be okay. Amen? It really is going to be okay. It doesn't feel like it right now, but it will be. It'll be okay. And you're just kind of hitting that forward button and it's going and everything's fast forwarding and we're just moving along at a very quick pace. And we understand this, that there's something we Bible-believing Christians, we're looking forward to getting out of here. Amen. And so we're just going to skip past that, and we're going to go up, and we're going to meet him in the air. We're going to go to that judgment seat, and however that's going to look, and we're going to be up there, and there's going to be things taking place down here. And that's kind of where you start getting a little bit closer to what we're reading about here. We understand there's a period of time known as Great Tribulation on the earth, and we kind of slow it down and start playing it now. We see that the setting is such that the world has seen mass mayhem. There's been all kinds of things that have happened on the earth, destruction and just tribulation unlike anything that's ever happened. Whatever it is that you envision when you think of apocalyptic settings, just multiply it by 100 and it's not quite what it's going to look like. I see the world kind of in smoldering ashes, as it were, just devastation and destruction. And things have been happening on the world scene that are unprecedented. And truly, people will know that there's something of biblical proportions taking place, but they're still going to have hard hearts and they're still going to be defying God. To the point where the nation of Israel, as that tiny little nation there that's over there on that, if you look at a world map, you see it's just such a tiny little blip on the scene. And yet that nation is going to be overrun by the Gentile forces. And there's going to be just a small group of Jewish people that escape out of that city and into the hills and up there into Jordan, into Sela Petra. And they're going to be hiding out in that rock wall, in that rock city. And there's going to be a false priest and a beast that are looking to defy and destroy the Lord's anointed. And the stage is going to be set. All those armies are going to gather together. All the armies of the world have now gathered, assembled themselves together, just like the Bible tells us will happen. And it'll be God's desire to bring them together. And all these forces of the world will, for whatever reasons, whatever the story is going to be, the idea is going to be that if we can just get together and if we can just eliminate once and for all a true final solution, we can eliminate these people, then we'll finally be able to accomplish that which we have desired for so long. The armies of the world will be united and gathered together, and we read about this in the book of Psalms in chapter 2, where the stage is set and the kings of the earth, they say, let us cast off his bands, and they'll bring themselves together, and we can do whatever we want to, and we can do what we want to because we are the people, and we have the power, and we have the great beast, and who can make war against him? So there in that setting in the valley of Jezreel, from Mount Carmel down where the Kishon River goes into Jerusalem, commonly known as the Valley of Megiddo, there is the location that we're talking about in this setting. And it's in this scene that we read about the beginning stages, or at least the first couple of steps in the physical format of Jesus Christ coming down out of heaven. And really the theme, the main theme of the Bible, the second advent, begins to take place. In a technical sense, it will already have been started with the rapture. In a technical sense, there will always be things that are connected to that second advent that will already be in motion. But to actually see the heavens opened, as John envisions in verse 11. Imagine if you can with John seeing heaven opened. Sometimes I try to actually stop and picture what it is I'm reading about. It's hard to do because, like you, I was raised with video games and TV. Amen. So that just ruins the imagination. Amen. I tell my our daughter, she's 8 years old, and she says, Dad, she now believes that that if she watches any too much TV then or plays any games too long on the iPad, that her brains are going to turn to mush. And she goes like this. She goes, yeah, I probably better turn it off. It feels kind of soft. And I come along. Yeah, it does. You better turn that off. I don't know how much longer we'll be able to pull that one. But you know, the imagination, sometimes it's hard to actually envision it, but this is what John sees, and this revelation, as the book is called, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of this mighty warrior, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this Savior, and yet he's coming back at this point as the enemy of the world. Verse 11 through 16, we read about it's literally the curtains being pulled back to reveal the star of the show, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we ought to remind ourselves, and if there's anything I hope to do this evening, is just remind us that it's really all about Jesus. It's really all about Jesus. He's going to once again enter into the world stage for the second time, but he's not coming back, we know, as the meek and lowly Jesus. He's not coming back as the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. This time he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The revelation of Jesus Christ will be just that. It's a revealing of exactly who and what he truly is. I just want to say, if you're here this evening, you're not used to these types of things. I doubt that that's the case, but it would be a real shame to only learn about this Jesus when these things take place. Amen? It'd be good for you to learn a little bit about this Jesus before you have to face this Jesus. If you've never been born again, this evening would be a great time to get to know the Jesus Christ that is opening His arms wide and saying, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." That's the Jesus you want to get to know now, because you won't want to face this Jesus that we're reading about this evening unless you're going to be behind Him on those white horses. Let's look at this revelation, first of all, of His person. Look at verse 11 again. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Let's see the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called," capital faith, capital F, "faithful," and capital T, "true." Amen? That's the revelation of who He is. You know, the Bible says, "A faithful man, who can find?" And truly, it's a very difficult thing to find a faithful man. I don't say this at all to make you think anything more or less of him, but I believe you have a faithful man as a pastor. That's a blessing. I believe there's some faithful men in this church, and there's some prudent people in this congregation that have chosen to say, "Hey, you know, we're going to participate. We're going to make this thing work." But you know, there's nobody in this room, including even your pastor, including the one that's preaching to you this evening, no one's always been faithful and true. But Jesus Christ has. He's never been unfaithful. He was faithful to perform His Father's will. He says, "I do always the things that please the Father." That's a pretty awesome statement, amen? I wish I could say that just about the last couple of days. I know over the last couple of days, I have done everything I'm supposed to do. It's hard to say that sometimes, but you know, we go through maybe a day and we think, "Man, today was a good day. I didn't mess up too badly." But Jesus Christ is known as faithful and true. That's the person that He is. He's faithful to keep those who follow Him. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I kept them which Thou hast given unto Me," He says. He's faithful to finish the job. Amen. He said, "I shall return," and He's going to come back. You know, we know that's the fact. We are Bible believing Christians. We believe the Scripture. We know that if He is went up, and He's going to come back. And if He went to prepare a place for us, He's going to bring us again to see it. And we're going to see it. And we know He's faithful and He's true. That's who He says He is. He is the Word of God, which is true. And He is the way and the truth and the life. And we ought to remember to let God be true. Let God be true. He is true. That's who He is all the time. What a shock it's going to be. What a shock it's going to be for the world to see with their own eyes physically those liars and deceivers when the epitome of truth, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is finally revealed to them. You know, I am well aware of the fact that all men are liars. Amen. I believe that. I know myself well enough to know that that's just a true thing. But I get sick of all the lies and the deception that are going on nonstop. It's just a nonstop propaganda constantly being force-fed into our eyes and into our ears. And it's just, even the food we eat is a lie. Amen. It's not even real food, most of it. It's processed garbage. And we just kind of go through this life. And what Pastor and I were just commenting on the way over, it's amazing that any of us can actually function. That we can actually formulate thoughts. Amen. I mean, everything about us is just completely diluted, and it's not what God intended us to be. But here we are, and we're functioning. We're trying to get something done, but we're constantly being bombarded with lies and deception and propaganda. And you just got to get to the place where you just say, if it's coming, you know, how do you know when they're lying? When their lips are moving. Amen. That's just about the truth of it, isn't it? But Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, is going to be revealed. And all those sinners and all their hard speeches that they've spoken against Him, their mouths are going to be shut. They're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to know in an instant, that's the truth. He is faithful and He is true. He that sat upon Him was called faithful and true. In righteousness He doth judge and make war. I want you to see, secondly, the revelation of His position. Look at the promotion that He gets in verse 12. It says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and upon His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself." You know, that when He comes back the second time, He's not coming back, as we already mentioned the first time. He's not coming back like that. He's coming back with the revelation of who He is, the position that He deserves, the prestigious Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what this Jesus is going to look like in the sense that I can't really envision it. I've seen some illustrations Dr. Upman's done. I've seen some things that I've looked online. But man, to see Jesus Christ, this Jesus, with the flame of fire from his eyes and on his head many crowns. I don't even know how that works. Amen? How do you get many crowns on one head? I don't know, but I believe it. I mean, I just know this. When you see him, you're not going to be seeing some meek and lowly Nazarene. It's going to be the full revelation of who he is with his prestigious position that he has. His eyes will be aflame with righteous wrath. That look that just, we're just going to, you know, someone said, man, just burned a hole through that person with their eyes, right? He's literally going to be doing that. His head's going to be crowned, but this time not with bloodied thorns. This time he's going to be crowned with many crowns. They're going to bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, crown him, crown him. He's going to come with a name which is above every name, a very prestigious name. I introduce to you the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. They're going to honor his name. People are going to bow down and they're going to fall before him. Amen. And we're going to be there with him and we're going to be going, that's our Jesus. Amen. It's going to be awesome. They're going to bring forth that royal diadem and there's going to be a crowds rejoicing and there's going to be crowds bemoaning him and they're going to, every eye shall see him and they're going to weep and they're going to wail because they're going to recognize that's the King. That's the King. When Jesus Christ is revealed the second time, ungodly sinners will be momentarily, if not, it won't last very long because when he comes back, he's coming back to kick butt and take names. Amen. That's just the way he's coming back. He's not coming back to kind of to cope and share and deal with things. I think they're going to have just enough time to have their jaws hit the ground, and all of a sudden, he's going to hit them. He's coming back, and those hard speeches that they spoke against him, against this man, they're going to be ashamed at his coming. They're going to have to recognize the power and the prestige and the position that he has. And notice also in verse 13, the revelation of his power. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. You know, the Word of God, that's that word above all earthly powers that's held up. Amen? That's that word that holds the worlds together. That's the Word of God. That's that word where the word of a king is. There is power. His clothing is stained with blood, and not his own blood, amen, not this time, but it's the blood of his enemies. Look over in the book of Isaiah chapter 63. Hold your finger here, we'll come back. But look in Isaiah chapter 63. I remember years ago when I first started really getting interested in the Bible for myself, and I started realizing what an amazing book this was, to the point where I realized, man, this is the book. This is the one that I need to be paying attention to. I came across this passage in Isaiah chapter 63. A little prophetic thing, Isaiah 63, and look with me in verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. The answer comes back, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Question, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. You know, Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back with great power. The armies of the earth are going to fall down before him. Wave after wave after wave of soldier and horsemen and battleship and all these things that is going to be there, all those embattlements that they are going to have against him, and they're going to actually think that they can fight against this Jesus. And they're going to get the revelation of his power. He's going to speak the word and they're going to be disintegrated. I don't know how it's all going to work, but I know it's going to be a big mess. It's just going to be coming through there and he's going to trod down his enemies. Like trotting the winepress. And he says, I'm going to come and the day of vengeance, verse 4, is in mine heart. You know, I'm so glad I know this Jesus and I don't know him this way. I'm glad I came to him before I'm going to have to face him like this, aren't you? If you're saved here tonight, you know that this is not the Jesus that you're going to have to face. This is the Jesus that you're going to be behind supporting. Look over here in the book of John chapter 12, if you will, on the way back to Revelation. John chapter 12. Jesus actually spoke of this. He did give fair warning, and he's very, very merciful. But he says in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words," that's going to be these people, "hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." That word is going to be the judge. That word of power is going to be there, and it's going to be revealed finally. You know, they don't believe this book and the words that are in this book have any power. They really don't. And, you know, we have a group of people here tonight where we have 50, 60 folks, 70 folks. You know, we have a little assembly that we get together, and it's kind of the same where we're at. You got a little patch of people here, a little patch or a group of people there. And kind of throughout this entire world, there still remains some people that understand the power that's in the Word of God. Amen? And we understand there's power in the blood, and we understand the power that Jesus Christ has, but we don't really get to see it revealed all the time, do we? We don't get to see its full glory revealed and the strength of Jesus Christ revealed, but one day there's going to be a revelation of His power. Going back to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Paul speaks in Romans chapter 9. You don't have to turn there, but he says, "What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" You know what's happening right now? God's just enduring what's going on here. And that actually says to me, if God is willing to endure it, then I guess I ought to be willing to endure it too. Amen? I have to be willing to put up with it. I don't have to like it. I don't have to be in agreement with it, but I have to endure it, because one day I know from the Scripture, the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're going to see His power revealed. And it's finally all that power that's being held back right now. You think of just the massive power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His spoken Word. It's just being held back. It's being held at bay. Just a little bit longer of long-suffering, a little bit longer of mercy, a little bit longer of grace being extended to whosoever will. And that's why it's so important for us to be out there and telling people about Jesus Christ, the meek and the lowly Jesus. To be telling people about how He came the first time as a lamb and how He shed His blood for their sins. We ought to be telling those people as much as we can, because we, of all people, understand there is great power being held back right now. And you talk about a nuclear explosion, they're worried about dropping nukes in Russia and China and America and all these things. Man, there's nothing compared to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ when His power is revealed. Revelation chapter 19, I also see the product that He brings with Him, what He produces. Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." I know there's some doctrinal things here, and there's different armies. There's those two different armies mentioned in Judges and Song of Solomon and Habakkuk, and we won't look at all those. But I want you to understand this, that this powerful and this prestigious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has produced is an army of saints. An army of saints. Washed clean and ready for warfare. Amen? I like the book of Joel in chapter 2. Look over in Joel chapter 2. Let's just turn there and look at it. It's worth reading. Amen? This is that army that He's talking about. This is what He's in the midst of producing right now. Joel chapter 2. You know, when He says endure hardness as a good soldier, that's really what He means. It's not just figurative language. That's what we're in. I'm a soldier in the army of the King of Kings. Amen? And look what He says in Joel chapter 2, speaking of this day, this event, this revelation of Jesus Christ. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains." Notice this, "a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness, they shall run like mighty men. Amen. Some of you can't even imagine that right now. You're going to get a glorified body, amen, and it's going to be possible. We're going to run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses, and they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his, what's the word? Army. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very powerful. And who can abide it? You know, that's what he's in the midst of producing right now, is an army. When you hear about things like enduring hardness, and you hear about not being entangled with the affairs of this life so that you may be a good soldier, that's the kind of stuff that God's trying to, what he's wanting you to understand is he is in the midst of producing a great army. This army is coming back with him, amen? What began as just a band of fishermen who became fishers of men, they've been transformed into, and their followers have been transformed into an invincible army. That's going to be pretty wild. Follow me. That's the first commandment that was given. It's the last command as heaven is opened. Follow me. Amen. His finished product is finally revealed. He says, Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He says, it's not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. We're going to have that revelation of who he is a little bit ahead of time. We're going to get the sneak peek. And our bodies are going to be transformed, and we're going to come back with him. And who he comes back with is the product that he's been working on, and that's what he's been building, is a great army of soldiers made of saints. We're going to come back with him, and we're going to be a part of his execution team. And I know it's hard for us to imagine, and sometimes we would do well just to remember that someday I'm going to have to face these people, and someday I'm going to be facing those that turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ought to break our hearts to appeal to them and to try to warn them and tell them Jesus is coming and he died for you and all those things that we talk about. It ought to be real to us, because when we come back and we face them after the rapture and during this event, it's not going to be a very pretty picture. What he's producing is a great army, an invincible army, a camp that's very strong. Go back to Revelation chapter 19. See this revelation of who he is, the person of Jesus Christ, and the prestigious position that he has and his great power. And what he's been working on building a great army. An army that's comprised and composed of people from all different walks of life, all race, all types of people, all different personalities, all nations are going to be gathered together in this great day, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then look over here in verse 15 again, if you would. Look at verse 15, and we see this, we see his plan revealed. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. We saw that in Isaiah 63. But notice the plan that he has. It's a plan that's been in place from the very beginning, actually. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, he's talked about the bruising of the head of the serpent. And that you talk about over in the book of Isaiah, the government being on his shoulders. And all these things that are prophesied, all these things that are spoken of that are not yet fulfilled, they're going to be revealed. His plan is finally going to be unfurled and it's going to be laid out. And what we see in verse 15 is that he is going to smite the nations and he is going to rule them. It's hard for us to imagine now, isn't it? It really is. It's hard for us to imagine our Savior, our Jesus, ruling the nations. But he will. John sees it revealed. That plan that's been in place from the very beginning, God's never changed his plan. You know what his plan is? His plan is for Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to rule the nations. And one day, as it says over in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, a few chapters before, speaking of this, it says that that angel sounded and he said, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Amen. And one day it's going to happen. One day that plan is actually going to be followed out and that plan is going to be revealed and it's going to be unfolded. There's going to be a righteous dictatorship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's going to be set up finally and forever, once and for all. Amen? And all we have to do now is we have to simply believe that what he's going to do and what he's going to put in motion and his plan that's right now, it's already been spoken what he wants to do. All these things that are happening right now are part of bringing it together to a point where one day he's going to be revealed and his plan is going to be followed. Whether they want to or not, if they don't want to, they're going to face the wrath of the Almighty God. And we read about that separating the sheep and the goats and those nations and all those things that are going to take place. Hey, you know what I believe? I believe that God's got a plan. I don't believe we're here by accident. I don't believe that, can I say this? I don't believe that, old Joe Biden getting in, Sleepy Joe. I don't believe that that's like, oh man, this is not what God was supposed to, oh, Lord. I don't believe God fell asleep. He neither sleepeth nor slumbereth, amen? All these things that take place, it's just part of his plan. It may not necessarily be exactly the way he would want it to happen, but he lets man and his will and the things that happen, he lets all that work out. But don't make the mistake of thinking that somehow or another, because the things that are happening right now aren't exactly what we would see as favorable or in alignment with God, don't make the mistake of thinking that's not part of his plan. His plan is going to be followed. They're going to walk right into his trap. Amen? And they're moving that direction right now. And all these things that are taking place in the world and all this stuff that we just, gets under our skin and we gripe and we complain about it and we get indignant and sometimes we need that righteous anger just to kind of stir us up in our spirit a little bit like we talked about this morning. We can have that, but let's not forget that he's got a plan. And it's coming and it's going and it's happening right now and it's going to work right toward this place that we're going to see and the world is going to see the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ finally revealed. He said when he's talking to Pilate, now my kingdom is not from hence. You take that word now out and you change the whole dynamic of his plan, don't you? That's why it's so important to have that right Bible. But when his kingdom, which is not of this world, is revealed, the plan will go as follows. First step, smite the nations. Amen? Second step, stomp them flat. Amen. Third step, set up a dictatorship. Amen. All in a day's work. Amen? Amen? All in a day's work, that great day of the Lord. And the word that created all things will be unleashed, not to create this time, but to destroy. Look at 2 Thessalonians real quickly and see this. Paul writes about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says this in verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, Second Thessalonians 1, verse 8, and flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Look at chapter 2 and verse 8. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He's going to come back and he's going to set up his plan. He's going to send them strong delusion, and we see that happening right now, but he's doing it all because they loved not the truth. And he's kind of going through right now, and he's creating a great divide. He's drawing those to himself that would, if he's lifted up, he's going to draw them to himself. And there's people even now that are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the way up to the rapture, and even after the rapture, those folks of all those different nations, those Gentiles, and even those Jewish people, that small remnant, they're going to believe on him. And we understand they're going to have to do some things differently. They're going to have to endure to the end of their life, to the end of that great tribulation. But one way or another, there's going to be a separation of people, and Jesus Christ is going to rescue his people. He's going to rescue his own, and he is going to destroy those who do not believe on him. It's a hard thing to fathom, but it's going to happen. He's going to set things up, and his plan is going to be followed and going to be executed perfectly. Don't you like it when a plan comes together? Amen? It's going to come together. Don't worry. His plan is in motion. It's going to come together. Look back in Revelation chapter 19. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? Yeah, I mean, we're under the thumb, and yeah, we're the minority for sure. And man, it feels like sometimes the whole world is just pressing in on us, and it's like, man, Lord, when are we going to get out of here? But we still got work to do, so let's get to it. But I just like the idea that, you know, one way or another, whatever they do to us, whatever happens, we're coming out on top. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? We know who He is as a person. We've seen His power. We see it in the Scripture, and one day we're going to see it with our eyes. And we understand the prestigious person that He is and being lifted up to a certain amount of glory. That's not happening just right now, although it can happen in our own hearts. And at least in our minds, we can esteem Him greatly and highly where He deserves to be. But we understand this, that one day He's going to be revealed. And man, His power is going to be revealed, and the product that He's been working on producing is going to be revealed, and we're going to be there with Him, and we're going to be, I mean, I don't know what my horse is going to look like, but I hope I can ride with one hand. Yeah! Woo-hoo! Amen. I just think we're going to have fun, amen? We're going to have a blast. It may not be fun today, but it's going to be fun someday. Amen? And it's going to be serious. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know if you can just imagine it. You know, those horses, you know, just stand there waiting and pawing at the gate, and that gate opening, and those gates swinging open, all of a sudden, let's go! Amen? Over the edge of heaven, down and through space, amen? See, how does all that work? That sounds like a fairy tale. I don't know, you get a lot of enjoyment out of X-Men and all the rest of the garbage you watch, right? You know, they promote all that stuff like as if you can fly around in space, so why can't we, amen? Especially in a glorified body. Well, what are the horses going to be like? They're obviously going to have glorified horses in heaven. I don't have to know all the answers to all that. I just believe what God said. And I know that one day the Lord Jesus Christ and what His power is and His prestige is going to be revealed. And the product that He's been working on is going to be revealed. And the plan that He's had in motion is going to be revealed. And the person of Jesus Christ is going to be revealed to this world. And then lastly, we're going to see His position finally being revealed. In verse 16, we see this. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On this day, this revelation day, this great day of the Lord, it will finally be revealed. It'll register in the minds of all that see Him. It will actually register. They're going to understand it and they're going to believe it. They're going to know for a fact that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. They don't know that now. They don't believe that. They don't want to know that. They don't look at anybody as King of Kings. They look at themselves as King, right? That's what man does. Man looks at himself, but his person and his prestige and his power and his product and his plan are all going to be a natural extension of his position. His position is going to be top dog, if I can say that as reverently as possible. Amen? And the most preeminent potentate of all creation and beyond is going to finally be revealed. The King of Kings will be loved by some and feared by others, but He will be worshipped and obeyed by all. He's going to get what He deserves. And He deserves it all. His position is the preeminent, highest, most exalted, most high and lifted up one that there is. And it would do us well to recognize Him in that position. And, you know, it's true that a lot of people that say they believe on Jesus Christ, they don't actually put Him in the position that He deserves even right now. I would dare say that in my life, there's been often times where I have dethroned Jesus Christ and I've put myself in that position of being the one that gets the right to choose what I get to do and what I want to say and the way I want to think. I know that wouldn't happen to anybody else, but that's the way I do it sometimes. And it makes me sad to think that sometimes I take Jesus away from the position He deserves in my own life. But I am thankful for this. One day, He's going to have the position He deserves, and no one is going to dethrone Him. He will never have to step down or acquiesce or give way to anyone else. Not me, not any other selfish Christian, amen? Not any other carnal believer, and certainly not a bunch of sinful people that hate Him and defy Him. One day His position is going to be secured and He's going to be lifted up and He's going to be revered and He's going to be worshipped. And those nations that won't come up to Jerusalem and bow down and worship him and bring him gifts, he says, don't rain on those nations. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And we understand this, he is going to be obeyed. And I don't understand exactly how it is that Christians can know that these things are written in the book of Revelation, and yet they can go about, and again, I mentioned myself being guilty of this. I don't understand how sometimes we forget that he is truly King of Kings. And we have no right to tell him what to do. We have no right to give him our advice. Amen. We have no right to bring before him our complaint. And although we can pour out our complaint before the Lord, yes, we can do that. But, you know, we ought to remember that Jesus Christ, his position is number one. He is number one. And if we say that we believe that, then we ought to act like that. And we ought to decide that whatever it is that he wants for me to do today, tonight, tomorrow morning, whatever it is, he gets what he wants. Period. Because his position is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of the Jesus Christ that we worship. We celebrated his resurrection today. And many of you received, like maybe I did, I get messages from people, he is risen. He is risen. And I appreciate that. The Mormon guy I told you about this morning, he sent me a text. Hey, he is risen. He actually had a picture of an open tomb, and he had a finger point towards it. Said, lockdowns don't work. Amen? That was pretty clever. You know, and I'm just cultivating a relationship with him because I want him to know the Jesus that I know. You know, we run across people that they know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And we ought to be keeping in mind that we have a responsibility that's been put on us to help people come into an understanding and into a relationship with this Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's our privilege. That's our great responsibility. That's our duty, but it is a privilege, isn't it? To get to know this Jesus, first of all, and then to be an ambassador for him, a representative of him. But when we do so, let us not forget that one day he's going to be revealed, and in his revelation, there's going to be a lot of things about him that a lot of people, even some of the people that claim his name today, they don't really understand. They don't understand who he is in his person. They don't really see him, the prestigious glory that he deserves. And the power that he has, the power to change lives. And the power that one day he's going to come back and he's going to take lives. The plan that he has and the preeminence that he deserves and all these things that we think about and we see to the book, him in the book of Revelation. But let us not forget that this Jesus Christ is a Jesus Christ who wants to be known. He wants to be in a relationship with you. And there is one thing that we should put up as the most important thing in our life right now, and that is maintaining, building, developing, maintaining, cultivating a personal walk with him. And I ask you this evening, brothers and sisters, Bible-believing Baptist Christian friends here this evening, we know this Jesus Christ, and we see his revelation in the book, and we look forward to his revelation in reality. But how are you doing with walking with him now? Because right now you can have a relationship with him. And your relationship with him today is going to have an outcome on how things go on that day. I do believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ and his armies, I believe there's rank and file. I believe there's rewards that he's going to give out, isn't there? I believe there's positions, and he talks about if you've been faithful in that which is least, then I'm going to make you faithful over these things. And there's all kinds of things like that we see in the Scripture. And I just wondered if you understand that this Jesus that we're talking about, he's real, one day he's going to be revealed, and right now you can have a relationship with him, a real relationship, not just as your Savior, but as your friend, as your King, as your Lord. Do you know him that way? I hope that you do. I believe that most of you do. And I just want to encourage you this evening that as we think about hitting the fast forward button and just kind of getting past all this stuff, the daily grind. Yes, we got to go through it. And Monday's going to come tomorrow morning, whether we want it to or not. And the work week is laying ahead of us. And if you're already through that and you say, well, I don't have to worry about that anymore, I'm retired. Well, now the aches and pains are upon you. Right. It's just a matter of time, amen? You're looking at that grave and you're going, there's 1 foot already in there. Hey, we understand how this thing works. You're born and you start dying, right? And it's just kind of a drag all the way through. So we fast forward through all that and the resurrection and the rapture and all the things that we're going to experience, and we're going to see him one day. He's going to be revealed, and man, it's going to be a glorious revelation. Who he is, he's faithful and true. And his power and the prestige that he has and what he's produced, he's doing this. I can't wait to meet the others in our army. We're going to be up there, and man, what a mighty army it's going to be. Like that army we sing about when we sing, you know, onward Christian soldiers, and like a mighty army, you know, the saints of God are marching triumphantly and all those things. We don't really know what that's like now. We're going to know it one day. The church triumphant is going to be revealed. That army, his product that he's been working on, his plan is going to be unfurled and planned and is going to be followed out. And his position is finally going to be secured. And I just want you to know that one day he's going to be revealed. And if we can reveal him in our own heart and our own minds tonight, then we can get a little bit closer to him in our walk with him. And that's really what he wants. I'm so glad that the Jesus Christ that we read about in this passage, he doesn't want to come back and execute judgment on anyone. He would much rather be a savior than have to be a judge and executioner. But his plan will be followed out. One day he will be revealed. Do you know him tonight? Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for who he is.